short. So pay attention, can you afford? Everyday conversation, decision making, breakdown, point of views, of course. Let's go. He say, she say, hey. See how we play. Hey. Real life issues, hit the replay. Okay. Debate in politics, right. What sport you profit with. Today's world news, food for thought, so come get a plate. Pull up.
Ladies and gentlemen, I want to welcome y'all to another episode of the Daily Dollar Show podcast. As always, it's your host, Martin. I'm with my co-hosts, Marlon and Jay Hawk. How are y'all doing, gentlemen?
Yeah. It was a long night.
Yeah, long night from watching the fight.
You know, shout out to Tank, Javonte Tank Davis, for winning in spectacular fashion in the seventh round.
135 pounds.
Yeah. Like That's a whole nother thing for another time.
Featherweight though, right? I'm just making sure we're on the same
Lightweight.
Jesus. How you weigh 135 pounds?
I mean, diuretics, cocaine.
What does that mean?
Diuretics? They make you go to the bathroom.
That's the word of the day.
That's fine.
Can you spell it out?
I gotta put that, you know, college education to use at some point.
I
look
at diuretics though to do.
Real talk. We'll get to that a little later on. But go ahead.
So yeah, so we, as you can tell, we have a special guest with us today.
We do, we do. He is the owner of House Young Entertainment. He is a DU grad, the university graduate. He's the director of Katrina Babies. That documentary won a lot of awards. One would be the Tribeca Award. He's also was honored last night from New Orleans Film Society by the lovely Lynn Whitfield. So
shout it's not out
other
Lynn.
Than Edward Hemothy Buckles Jr.
I appreciate that, man. Thank you all for having me. I'm super happy to be here.
Hey, absolutely. I gotta say, I still haven't watched Katrina Babies yet.
God damn it.
Look, I'm gonna be honest. It is a traumatic thing.
No, yeah.
And I watched the clips because it's easier to digest things like that. And every time I see a clip, I'm like, I know, appreciate it. In
the if you look to the, you know, look to your left, it's right there.
Yes, thank you.
Well, I watched it twice, so I watched it.
Yeah, I watched it twice too, man. Yeah, it was
so
good.
It is probably, it gives a perspective that I think nobody had. Mm-hmm. And it was timely, and it was, from everything I've seen, everything I've read, it was needed because I remember my siblings and it gave me an insight because I was an adult when it happened and I helped my family evacuate. And I remember like my siblings kind of didn't understand because they were younger and seeing that it gave me a perspective that I didn't have. So I definitely want to say thank you for putting that story out.
Thank you.
Because that really, it helps you connect with people maybe you didn't have a chance to connect with. So.
Oh, man. Look, man, thank you for those words. You know, I never get tired of hearing it. I mean, you know, the awards are cool. The honorings are cool. But I think that, you know, I said this last night, but this film is not even really for all of that. You know, like this film is for like the impact. This film is for like exactly what you just said, you know, to start that conversation, you know, to make those mental shifts, to bring understanding, to be a resource.
Right.
And a tool, you know. Yes, like Hurricane Katrina is obviously one of the most traumatic things, you know, to happen in American history.
Right.
Especially to us. But I think that what this film does a great job of doing is also showing like the strength, also showing, you know, how beautiful we are, and it's also to be used as a resource and a tool to help us heal from that trauma, you know,
right.
But in your own timing, you know, so it's like this film ain't going nowhere. It's going to be on HBO, you know, for a while. So, you know, you can always watch it whenever you feel like watching it. You
absolutely.
Know? So,
absolutely.
Like I was at a dealership. I'm not gonna say the name, but I was at a dealership the other day, and my homie was servicing my car, and he was trying to be funny. So he grabbed one of the mechanics and was like, "Hey, bro!" Like, and like I'm standing there, and he was like, "Hey, bro, you ever watch Katrina Babies?" And the guy obviously he don't know who I am,
right?
And like, he was like, "No, I'm not watching that shit. Not watching that old sad, depressing ass shit." He just kept going on and on and on.
I'm like, "Damn, bro!"
And then the dude was like, "Wait, hold on, bro!" Like, just before you say anything else, this is the director. He was like,
And then, no, but like, I appreciated that honestly because like, that gave me opportunity, you know, to say to him what I just said to you. It's just like your own timing, you know, right. Like, I get it, you know, that's fair.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. We all have our, when you go through something so traumatic, because everyone's experience was the same with different nuances.
Yeah, exactly.
I feel like majority of everyone, especially, you know, if you talk about your middle class, lower middle class, we all had to evacuate. Mm-hmm. We all had to go somewhere else. We all had to go figure it out.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the figuring it out part that was different for everybody. How did you survive afterwards?
Yeah, yeah.
How did you make your life your life afterwards? And then did you decide to come back?
Yeah.
And those nuances and all those steps along that path you take, that's different for everybody. And some people haven't healed from it.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so, like you said, it's a healing thing. It's something that, but we do have to take it in our time.
Yeah.
Which is a beautiful thing because the medium you introduced it in is timeless.
100%.
You can watch it from anywhere, anytime. Yeah. So, you know, maybe when I get to that point and I can sit down and watch it, I'm looking forward to it.
You're going
to
watch it today. That's your homework.
I'm going to have to drink a little bit more.
That's your homework. You're going to watch it today.
You can drink and hold your hand too.
There you go.
I got you.
We cuddle up, get a big blanket and everything. Yeah, absolutely.
What is going on right now?
Say, bro. Emotional support.
I got you, bro. All right. So what inspired you to, you know, get started with filmmaking?
Man, I started off, you know, in theater, actually. Started off acting.
Mm-hmm.
When I was younger, you know, it's funny because, like, Katrina has something to do with, like, pretty almost every aspect of my life. So mm-hmm. when I was younger, after Katrina, I started getting in trouble, you know, in the neighborhood.
Mm-hmm.
And my mom threatened to send me to Harry Lee's boot camp.
Oh, wow.
Oh, no.
And, like, bro, I hated Harry Lee.
Yeah.
Like, hey. No, I don't say hate it, but what I knew about Harry Lee, like, it was just like, you know.
Chiwi hairstyles.
Yep. And, like, you know, he had
just. Like black people?
Chiwi hairstyles.
Yeah.
And, like, he had just passed that stop and frisk
mm-hmm.
law. Yeah.
And, like, you know, I was one of the dudes that sagged my pants. So.
Right, he was stopping everybody that was sagging. Yeah.
Everybody. And, like, you know, I wasn't no.
What kind of shit is that?
Whatever. So.
It was a style thing. It wasn't like anybody was out here doing
that. So, everybody did that, yeah.
So, you know,
racial
like,
profiling.
I don't know if it was a flex, but I wasn't about to call my mom's bluff. But, like, she was like, you know, I'm a senior ass to Harry Lee boot camp. And I was like, man, I'm not going there. She was like, well, you go find something to do this summer.
Mm-hmm.
So I heard Wild Wayne, you know, on the radio talking about the Anthony Bean Community Theater or whatever. Mm-hmm. And I went in, you know, audition. Well, I told my mom, yo, I want to audition for him. And, like, she was like, oh, like, that's your cousin. And I was like, oh, word. And so, like, she was like, you serious? Like, yeah. So she was like, man, you're not serious. Like, whatever. So what I didn't know, she had called him in private and set up an audition. So I wound up auditioning. And I got in. And, like, that summer, I was never, like, you know, on the streets no more. Like, I was in that theater.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, pretty much that from that summer until I graduated high school. Like, I was in that theater acting. And I got introduced to a new outlet. Introduced to Black Arts, and then I wound up going to Dillard, and I studied. Well, I majored in theater, and then that next year I changed my major to film because I got introduced to, you know, just videography.
Right.
I would, you know, take my friend's camera and just go around campus asking people questions, and I fell in love with that medium, and I fell in love with that art because, like, I just love, like, the power of storytelling through, you know, just like. That lens, it was different. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And I wound up changing my major to film. Took film classes.
Mm-hmm.
Took a documentary class.
Mm-hmm.
Came up with the idea for Katrina Babies, and I worked on Katrina Babies up until last year. You know, so.
Are you a patient person? Are you really, really patient, or not really?
With my art, yeah. With my art, I worked on Katrina Babies 7 years, so I had to be. But yeah, I'm patient with my art. Well, I'll say this: Katrina Babies taught me to be patient,
right?
With
because
my work.
It took you 7 years to do it. First, you were 20 years old. You had the idea.
Yeah.
At 23, you started filming.
Yeah.
And you actually reached out to people on Facebook to be in documentaries.
Yeah.
So, I'm kind of curious about that process you went through from 20 to 23 to the first day of filming, just what you went through and trying to figure out how you want to tell this story. So.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, man. Like, you know, I didn't really know how to make a movie. You know what I'm saying? At 20 years old, that's crazy to even think about. Like, you know, but I just kind of like went into it. Like, you know, I jumped off the porch. You know what I'm saying? And like, I you know, I jumped in that 12 feet of water. You know what I'm saying? And I learned like as I went, and you know, some of the imperfections and some of the flaws, you know, some of the mistakes that I used to have anxiety about wound up being like what makes this film so beautiful. You know, it's those flaws that like, you know, makes it beautiful. But you know, I just knew that as long as I had two things, I was gonna be good. And like what I had was story and good audio. You know, that was what, like, you know, to me, that was what was most important was story. Well, no, actually, more than two things. Story, connection to the community, and, like, you know, and like connection to, like, the quote-unquote subjects. But also having good audio was key for me. You know, I heard somebody say that people will always forgive you for bad video, but they'll never, you know, forgive you for bad sound. Hey. Ever. You know what I'm saying? Never. Like, because, like, you have to realize, like, you ever heard something like, because like I'm like this, like anything was ever like displeasing to like your ear and like you got annoyed.
It tells you,
so it's like,
off.
Yeah, I can see that.
If you're giving somebody bad audio, like you're literally disrespecting them. It's it's almost as worse as punching them. You know what I'm saying? So so like I like, you know, I was just always just like, okay, you know, I worked with multiple cameras, but I always had a really good mic.
Always so, important.
You know, so even sometimes when like my camera stopped filming, my, you know, I still have the audio.
Okay. You know,
and you know, as I went, you know, I you know, over the years, over the 7 years, you can literally see my style and my my craft begin to elevate. You know, versus like shoot one versus last year's shoot, right? So I think that that's also, you know, what makes the film beautiful is that you see my growth in it as a filmmaker and like as a human.
Like you clap your hands for certain takes. I mean, versus actual, you know, that was pretty dope. That was intentional. I've heard you say that too. Very intentional.
Well, I mean, I wouldn't say intentional. Like I just didn't have a slate. Like you know, I couldn't afford a slate. You know. When you're operating, you know, out of scarcity and like, you know, like when you're operating out of like, just like trying to figure it out,
jumping off
you don't
porch.
Even know that like you need a slate. It's just like, you know, it's like, okay,
just
cool.
Just trying to get it.
I have this idea. I'm trying to make it a reality. And I'll use what I used to make it happen.
I didn't want
to
wait.
And it was your own funding at that too. When you first started off.
I didn't get no money. Like, you know, like it was all my own funding. So, you know, man, like it was a very important 7 years, man. Like it was a very, very, very important 7 years. Like I learned a lot about myself as an artist, as a person. I learned a lot about my community. But I also, you know, like just from like a crafts perspective, I became like the filmmaker who I am today. You know what I'm saying? So
the award winner at that.
Like, you know, I wouldn't trade it, bro. Like I wouldn't trade this, like, you know, you know, for nothing. And you know, like it was self-funded, but I would be crazy not to mention, like, you know, like, you know, I worked jobs to, like, you know, like support this film. Like I worked at you know, Martin Wine Cellar, Smoothie King, Cheesecake Bistro. I worked with you.
You did.
Like you and your father, and like, you know, I was so appreciative of that, man, because of the fact that, first of all, that shit paid so good.
Bro, yeah, it was so hiring too, by the way.
Which college student, bro?
Say,
got you.
Say, bro, for like a college student, bro, like I remember one time, like I just went on a binge with y'all, and like I think like I was making like $2,000 every week.
Oh damn!
Like, as a college,
I think you had your Jeep at the time. I'm not mistaken.
Yeah,
I remember that.
I had just got my Jeep.
Remember that, man.
Are they
paying
and, like,
over there?
But it's crazy. It's easy work, but it's crazy hours. It's like overnight. You know, like
it's fun. I don't need to be home.
Long hours. You know,
words of a married man.
But so yeah, like I definitely appreciate you and your father and like all the managers over there. It was funny as hell, boy.
It was.
But like, you know, I would work jobs like that to like, you know, buy new equipment.
Right.
you know, because again, I didn't know how to get funding, you know, yeah. Like
I think that's one thing too, when you talk about people in the arts and in the film industry, like I was fortunate enough to go to high school with some people locally that are making a name for himself. You know, like Martin Bradford.
That's my dog, yeah.
Yeah, so we went to McMaine together. Mm. And it's like, I've been following him for a while. I've been following his whole career. Shout out to him. And it's like, I've had the chance to see him grow. Mm-hmm. And then he always talks about how he, like what you got to do in the day-to-day time in between the projects, in mm-hmm. between the work. Mm-hmm. So hearing you talk about that, like you're at this point now where you're successful, arguably. Mm-hmm. But you... That puts it in, I think that puts it in perspective for people too. It's like you said, I was working at Smoothie King. I was working at Cheesecake Factory. Like yeah. I was working at all these places to make this project a reality. And that's kind of what you have to do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for yes. sure. Yeah, man. Like, you know, this, like, I, you know, I always tell people, like, when you, young people, when they tell me that they want to be artists, it's like, do you really?
Right. Like, do you like, love it? What's too? The commitment?
Because, yeah. like, if you're doing this to make money, don't do it because, like,
you ain't gonna get it.
Well, I mean, and like, it ain't promised, yeah. first yeah. of all. Like, right. you have to realize, like, when I was doing this, like, when I was younger, and like, it's so hard to teach, like, these, you know, and like, I don't want to sound like the old person, but it's hard to teach, like, the young cast this, mm-hmm. man. It's like, I wasn't thinking about money at all.
Right.
Because it's your passion.
I was like, yeah, I was like, mm-hmm. like, yo, like, I didn't even think that I could make money off of something like this. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, but I wasn't thinking about money at all, man. I was grinding, like, right. you know, to get my, like, a name for myself. Right. You know yeah. what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Now, I'm not gonna lie and say that, you know, I didn't, you know, wish for a successful yeah. future, mm-hmm. but I would have been okay if this film would have came out and went straight to YouTube. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. If it was what it is right now.
Right.
You know, but... Yeah, man, like, you know, I definitely had to support myself, like, you know, through doing all of this. And, you know, eventually, you know, I got a full-time job, right. you know, as a high school teacher, mm-hmm. and that changed everything for
yeah.
sure.
And a car mm-hmm. high school, yeah.
Yeah, and the car and Eldridge Technology Academy.
Mm. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So how did that happen as far as, you know, basically you wanted to go to YouTube, but how did HBO come about? Like, how did that approach you?
Man, so... You see, the longest part of this process mm-hmm. was the process of making the film. Because right. everything else happened fast.
Right.
You know, everything else happened real fast. I couldn't even wish for it to happen any more smoother, bro. Like, it was like it just fell in my lap. Like, I had quit my job as a teacher. Mm-hmm. And... because I had this rule and I was like, I'm not going to quit teaching because like I knew that I wanted to leave the classroom.
Right.
Because I thought that I would be able to help more from outside of the school system
yeah.
than
yeah.
from within.
Mm-hmm.
So I knew that I wanted to leave. I just didn't know when.
Right.
So I had... this rule and the rule was until you can match your salary mm-hmm. with your gig money,
mm-hmm.
you don't leave.
Right.
Right.
Wow, okay.
So
that's smart.
So yes. yeah. So like, so, you know, I had this, you know, oh, and I actually like, you know, like one of my mentors gave me that advice, Colin Jacobs, you know, like he was my mentor in education and also like he was my boss.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I actually don't think that he wanted me to quit, and like, you know, I think that like, that's why he told me that. So
yeah.
So I was so like that next year, man. I was having a great year, you know. I had just started shooting for Youngboy.
What year was this?
I think 18.
Okay. Oh, yeah, he was popping in, like okay. popping out.
Okay. Yeah, yeah, man.
He was just popping out.
I was doing videos for Youngboy, for Kevin Gates. I was selling merch. Mm. I was just grinding, dog. Mm-hmm. I was grinding, like, you know, I was shooting videos and like I was just being like a videographer. And I had wound up matching it, mm-hmm. like not even on purpose. Mm-hmm. I wasn't even thinking about it, but like, you know, I had wound up matching my salary, which wasn't that much. But so I quit. well,
in a middle school year, like after school,
I wouldn't. I wouldn't. Okay, never done those students. Good, okay, those students love me too much, bro. Like I literally came back that last year so that I can see some of my students graduate.
That's dope. That's dope.
So like, you know, I did that last year because, like, you know, I started with them. So, okay. Like, you know, I wanted to finish with them.
Dope.
So I did that last year, went to graduation. I quit and I felt terrible. But, like, I knew that, like, so when people asked me why I was quitting, I was like, because, I'm going to finish Katrina Babies. But I didn't know how. I was like,
it was your calling.
Yeah, you know, literally, like, bro, I was called. Like, so I quit. Is there a better word than quit?
You went to follow your passion.
I resigned.
You moved on. Yeah. Yeah. I mean,
higher calling.
I mean, I moved on and
don't feel bad. I did the same thing. I used to teach.
Yeah, then, man.
I had to resign.
And bro, like, I felt bad, bro. You know, because, like, man, like, you know, like, the students hit me up and bro, they never gave that teacher any respect after me. Like, no.
Yeah.
I think he quit.
I believe that.
Like, they never gave him any respect because, you know, many of them didn't know that. Like I try to tell as many as I could, but, like, ones that came back, because, like, I had a waiting list at my class, man. Like, so, like, ones that came back that next year, they thought that, you know,
they'll get you.
They was coming Joe's me. Yes. They walk in and, like, he's in there, fresh faced and nervous, and they just gave him hell, though. Yeah. Like, so anyway, sorry.
Yeah, you good. You good.
Yeah, man. So anyway, I wound up leaving and, you know, I was like, oh, I'm good. I'm you know, and then I started shooting more projects, whatever. And then what happens? Pandemic.
Yeah, COVID. Yep.
That
and,
bitch.
You know, man, and, like, you know, and that little bit of money that I had saved up went away quick.
Yeah. A lot of people.
You know, I work in the industry where you have to be in people's faces.
Right.
Yes. Yeah.
So production got shut down.
Yeah.
So, man, I was trying to figure out, like, you know, how I was gonna make things work. You know, I had like, you know, full transparency. Like, I was getting that stimulus, that I was getting that unemployment or whatever. And, man, it was the second month of the pandemic. And, I got a call from my mentor, Chike Oza, I have a lot of mentors. Chike Oza, who is one half of Kudi and Chike, also responsible for the Genius documentary, with Kanye West.
Okay.
Whatever. So, you know, what people don't know is that one of those directors is from Uptown New Orleans or whatever. And Kudi is from Chicago, obviously. Mm-hmm. But, you know, Chike has been a friend of Katrina Babies for a while. Like, you know, he actually called me every year, like, if not more. And, like, bro, like, finish this film. Like, and, like, he would always say, this film is going to change your life.
Mm-hmm. Right.
It's going to change your life. And, like, I used to be like, yeah, bro, I hear you, dog. But, like, these music videos pay me right now.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Like,
But, like, because, like, he hated that, like, I was doing, like, you know, young, those videos, especially for the people that I was doing it for.
Yeah. Because
he was like, man, like, this ain't helping your brand.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever. So, anyway. He was in post-production with Genius, the Kanye West movie, over at Time Studios and Netflix. And no, actually with Time Studios. It wasn't Netflix yet. And he was like, yo, we just had a meeting with, you know, Time, like, you know, about Genius. And, like, you know, I mentioned Katrina Babies to them just because, you know, it came up organically, and, like, he was like, you know, they're interested in like having a meeting with you or whatever. And I was like, oh, word? Like I was like, man, like, I don't think I'm ready, man. And he said, nigga, how much time do you need? He was like, bro, this is Time Studios, Time Magazine. Like,
what
bro,
are we doing?
Get ready. Right.
Get ready.
And they hung up. Like, and they hung up. I was like, okay, cool, bet. So, you know, I had to sit, you know, in that pandemic, you know, and, like, sit with that footage and, like, you know, go grab all that footage, bro, and, like, watch the footage. And, you know, he called me back and, like, he was like, look, so, you know, this is the perfect time, like, you know, for Katrina Babies, because although nothing is shooting right now, people are looking for projects that are already shot.
Right.
Yeah.
Yes.
So,
yeah, who was
so
sitting, like, home doing nothing.
Yeah. So, like, my project was already shot.
Mm-hmm.
So it was the perfect,
yeah,
you know, like, scenario for me.
Yeah.
So, you know, I did a, like, I took that footage and, like, I made a sample reel. And then I did a deck. And, you know, he helped me with it. And, you know, I sent it, you know, to him. And, you know, he sent it to Time. Time was a fast yes. We want it. Hmm. Whatever. And, you know, Time came on board. You know, fast, like, bro, like within a week, like shit started moving fast, like, whatever.
Just normally how it happened.
You know, within a week, they was like, okay, cool, like, you know, what do you need? I was like, well, you know, I need to go shoot some more stuff, like, you know, I want to go film my cousin Tina in Shreveport, because, like, you know, I had never filmed her yet,
okay,
or whatever, and like, I was like, you know, I also want to go to Denver, whatever. It was okay, cool, like, we got you. So we did all that. They was like, okay, cool. Now, like, you know, it's time to pitch it. And, like, I had never pitched before. Mm-hmm. So they was like, okay, like, you know, like, who do you want to go to? And I was like, well, you know, I want to go to, you know, HBO, Netflix. Like, you know, I'm just throwing out names. Right. Like, whatever.
Yeah.
Now, certain people on the team was like, what about BT?
Oh, no.
Like, no.
What?
Hell no, man.
That was almost racist. Like, what you just said?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
What about BT? I'm like, no, ma'am. Like, automatically, like, you know.
I mean, that sounds good in theory, but you want to expand. You want to expand. So,
Now, I ain't going to lie. The first line of the film does kind of open like a BET movie. Like, that's me. like, bro, I hate that. So, like, I was like, nah, but, like, I had to play the game or whatever.
Yeah.
But, like, you know, I could tell that some of them was, like, you know, on the fence about HBO. Like, you know, HBO is super competitive and they only take 10 films a year and, like, whatever. I was like, I want to do HBO because, like, I had just wrote HBO on my vision board.
Right.
Or whatever.
Gotcha. Oh, wow. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, and by the way, no shade to BET, no shade.
Nah,
Katrina
all,
Babies
nah.
just wasn't for BET,
right?
Whatever. So, and we, you know, set up the pitches. Our first pitch was CNN, and like, you know, I had to go to Denver to interview my cousin, and we did CNN. CNN was a fast no because like their slate was full, and then the next day was HBO. Mm-hmm. So I pretty much stayed up all night and studying HBO or study for the HBO pitch.
Okay.
And you know, I got on a call and bro, before I can even open my mouth, I just felt it. Like I felt that they wanted it. Like like it was just like they were so receptive. Like
right.
They wasn't playing like the big dog game and like, you know, whatever. And like, you know, we pitched and like, bro, like I didn't even realize how strong my team was because again, you know, everything been over the screen and like, you know, so like, I'm gonna just paint the picture for you. Mm-hmm. It's my broke ass on a call, right? Inexperienced ass on a call,
right.
But I'm being backed by CAA because like, you know, CAA represents Time.
Yeah.
Okay.
You got Time Magazine on the call, Time Studio, sorry. You got Cootie and Chike on the call.
Mm.
And then you got these Hollywood, you know, like executive producers. You got the CEO of Time on a call. So it's like
that sounds kind
of
nerve-wracking.
That's a lot of weight, bro.
That sounds nerve-wracking as hell.
No. But they on my side.
Right.
Right. So they got the confidence.
They behind me. I didn't realize that.
Damn. Okay.
So like, you know, they are literally introducing me. Like so like it's a line. It starts with CAA. And then it goes to Time Studios.
Mm-hmm.
Then it goes to Chike.
Mm-hmm.
Then goes to me. So like by the time I can even like really all I gotta do is just like talk from the heart. Like
right.
I didn't have to talk about anything technical.
Right.
And then like bro, like in that moment, bro, I swear to God, dog, like I get goosebumps. Like think about it right now. But bro, in that fucking moment, dog, they was like, we want it.
Yeah.
And bro, that never happened. So like you know, Chike. Like everybody looked like huh? Like because like normally people play that game like oh well you'll hear from us in a few weeks whatever.
Yeah.
And like everybody was like wait you want it? They was like yeah like send us how much money y'all need whatever. I was like okay cool. So like my duck ass I'm still on a call trying to pitch. I'm still pitching. so like you know like CK text me I might still have the actual message.
Man, that shit
crazy.
Like, so then, like you know, Chike texted me and was like, "Bro, shut the fuck up. They want the film." he was like, you know, don't over pitch, bro. Like, stop over pitching.
Yeah, you don't need to
whatever.
Oversell. They
you didn't realize at that moment that they wanted you. You were so focused on the hustler mindset of yeah. I want you to take my project, but they already said, say less.
They came into the call wanting it.
They came onto the call wanting it.
Right, okay.
That's a blessing.
So, yeah, man. Yeah. So it's then after that, man, like everything just started moving fast. And like, you know, I never really celebrated until like, cause it's like, I was in disbelief.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
The whole time I was working with them, bro. Like, you know, up until like maybe we got into like maybe month nine. Cause it's like, first of all, long form takes so long. You know, like, you know, final contracts take so long and that shit is nerve wracking, bro. Like long form. That shit takes like 4 or 5 months.
Yeah.
Like, you know, like before you can sign any paperwork.
So you just sit sitting there waiting.
Yeah, because like they have to pass contracts around.
Yeah.
And then, you know, like depending on what territories you cover, across the world, you got to get this contract sent to Europe, this contract, and like gotcha. You got like everybody lawyers playing or whatever. So it just takes so long.
They got to go through a lot of hands.
So like, you know, people is like, oh, like, you know, congratulations. I'm like, nah.
Yeah.
Nah. We ain't there yet.
Not so until like, you see it in writing.
I didn't tell anybody. Like, you know, I didn't make the announcement about HBO until like a year after.
It's like August 2021, if I'm not mistaken.
I can't even remember.
Like it was
on deadline or something like that. But
yeah,
like,
you made that announcement. Yeah.
But yeah, man, and like everything just started moving fast, dog. Like, you know, it was a beautiful like relationship. They didn't overstep. They didn't, you know, they wasn't playing like, you know, big machine. Like they like respected my like, you know, personal like, you know, connection to the story, and like they allowed me to lead with that.
Shout out to HBO.
And you know, shout out to HBO, man. And then after, like, you know, when it came to marketing, you know, those like black women from, you know, Scene in Black, well, black and brown women from Scene in Black, you know, which is their you know, marketing entity, they show so much love, man. And like they really put me on a, like, you know, put me on a pedestal when they marketed, you know, like this project. And, you know, Ashiba, it was just love, man. It was a beautiful experience, honestly.
Yeah.
And so, like, a lot of first time filmmakers don't get that experience. Like that's why I acknowledge and like, I appreciate it, you know?
So speaking of the pedestal and being up there, you won a number of awards. You won awards. You were nominated for awards. But obviously the biggest one is when they start mentioning your name, your movie, and your film, and Oscar.
Yeah.
That's, oh boy. Like, I remember when I first saw that, I was like, that's crazy.
Me too. That was crazy to me, man. I was in New York. I was on a date. Nah, man. And like it was around Christmas time, man. And like, cause like I knew that I was doing the interview,
right?
Like, you know, to campaign for the Oscars, but I didn't know what the title. I mean, like, what the headline was gonna be. And like, when I saw it said Oscar contender Katrina Babies, like, I was like, damn, that's crazy.
Like,
I had to take a second. I was like, what? I was like, that's crazy. Mm-hmm. You know?
Well, did your phone start blowing up?
Well. Not until I posted it. Cause like, you know, like niggas ain't around reading deadline.
That's fair.
Guilty.
No, like, my people are not really around reading deadline.
Right.
So, a lot of the platforms actually that are posted me, you know, I had to actually post it to make people realize.
Gotcha. You know what I'm saying?
Right. But yeah, like, I think that my phone started to go the craziest when I dropped the trailer, though.
Yeah.
That's when, like, it was nuts. Like, my Instagram ain't been the same since. Yeah. like that's when my shit went nuts.
Yeah. You see, like, 100, like, DMs, like, you haven't read yet? Bro. Like, something like that?
Still, to this day. bro.
I believe that,
That's why I had to get I never wanted to get an assistant. Never. Because, like, you know, like Denzel Washington said that he handles all of his own business. Mm-hmm. So I was like,
slight flex, though.
That's going to be me. No.
Yeah, no, but I get that. Yeah, absolutely. Yes.
No, but, bro, my emails, my, like, and like, you know, I felt like I was being rude to people because, like, I couldn't respond, but it was just that.
It's so much.
It's overwhelming. Volume. It's overwhelming. Yes.
And then people not coming at me just for, like, you got people coming at me for one opportunities. You got people coming at me, like, you know, for, like, you know, transactional things, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
But then you also just got people sharing their stories with me and trauma, like, with me. Like, you know, because it's like I opened up, you know. I opened that up.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So it's like, you know, it makes sense. Like, people are coming like, oh, thank you so much. You know, I went through this during Katrina. Like, people tell me some crazy stories, you know. So, you know, that was when my, like, bro, like, that was when things started going, bro, like, Instagram not even fun for me no more, dog. Like,
yeah. it's you post on there, like, status. For certain, like, accolades or just things
I like to put that shit on, so, like, post my clothes, or, like, you know, man, like, I remember, like, you know, Instagram used to be just so fun, but it's, like, now it's, like, bro, business. And, like, can people see when you on Instagram?
Nah.
No, they can see, like,
Messenger.
Messenger. They can see when you're active.
Right. Yeah. But not when you on Instagram.
If they go to the Messenger that they sent you a message, it'll have that little green bubble.
Because they got a few people, like, I swear, they know when I be on there.
Yeah.
Yeah,
man. Be careful with that, bro. Be very careful
with that. Because I remember Facebook, Meta.
I used to hate that, boy.
They would have that, oh, yeah, this person.
It's still there.
Yeah.
It's still there. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you just go to your messages and you see everybody that's active.
Yeah,
so,
man.
So what's next for the film? What's next for you?
Man, so, you know, I want to go back to the Oscars thing, too. So, like, you know, the campaigning for the Oscars is so crazy. Mm-hmm. It's just wild. Like, you know, that's what they don't tell you, like, that's what you don't know. And, you know, maybe, like, this information can, you know, help people. But it's like, you know, I used to think that it was just like a room of people.
Mm-hmm. Right.
That watched these fire films. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And they picked the best film.
Right.
Yes.
You got a campaign.
No, you got a campaign.
Like, you running for
Zoom. You got to buy your way into that.
It's a popularity contest.
But also it's a deep pockets contest.
Yeah.
You know.
Who can advertise, who can politicize,
You know, like,
who can press the flesh and be out there, who can afford to do it.
Yeah. We had to put up, like, you know, I mean, like,
you put numbers. You put money up.
We had to put
a significant amount.
Yes, amount.
That wasn't even significant when it comes to the campaign.
Gotcha.
I was like, this shit is significant to me. Like, whatever. Like, seriously.
Like that is real money.
No. Right. But not funding our own money,
right?
You know, some people have backers that you know back their films,
the
back their, you know, machines that back their campaigns. Mm. But, like, you know, for most of us who are non-traditional, most of us who, you know, are, like, making our first films, you know, most of us who are, like, don't come from, like, that sort of a background, we can't, you know, afford to compete, you know. So I personally really believe, and, like, I am not a sore loser. No, I am a sore loser. But, like, not when it comes to stuff like this, but I personally believe that, like, we didn't get nominated for that Oscar because of the campaign. Mm-hmm. And Jim, I think his name is, Lester Carey or something like that, from Deadline, he just wrote an article saying that, you know, the Oscar campaigning is ridiculous. Mm. And, like, I'm so glad that, like, somebody said it, because it's just, like, come on, y'all. Like, this is crazy.
It's exactly. Like, you got to pay the place.
Like, like, you know what I'm saying? So right now, we are also shortlisted for the Emmys, though.
Uh-oh.
Which is dope. And, you know, we are heavy contenders in it. We just submitted for, I think, like, 7 Emmys.
7. Oh, that's awesome.
So,
Emmys, we'll let's go. Stop playing. Emmys. Yeah, like, let's go.
You know, we'll
clean
see.
Sweep.
Yeah.
Get all of them.
We'll see.
I mean, but that elevates you. You know, Oscar is great, Emmy is great, and then with the win.
Yeah.
In any one of those categories.
Even nominated is great. Yeah. Like, you know.
First major film.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, exactly. So, like, you know, just to be real, to even be in these conversations is dope. Like, again, like, you know, for my first film, like, that's, man, like, you know, I've had a great year, bro. Like, I've been nonstop. Like literally, like I haven't taken a vacation or a break.
Traveling,
yet,
like,
yeah.
New York, you've been to Michigan.
Well, like, I live in New York, so, yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
You live in New York, okay. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so, but yeah, man, like I've been, like, all over the world, literally, like, you know, and, you know, I don't say that as a flex. I say that because...
No, talk your shit,
this
bro.
This film, bro, is like, you know, I know filmmakers, bro, who drop a film and it's fly by night.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and, like, it's like, it comes out, people love it for, like, a second, and then nobody don't care no more.
Yeah.
But, bro, like, I've been nonstop since August. Mm-hmm. Like, look, well, July.
Mm-hmm.
Like, every, like right now, every month is booked this year.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, so.
It's nice.
I think that also speaks to what you put into it.
Yeah, yeah.
The because if you've gone through something traumatic, you can relate, mm-hmm. even though your experience is different.
Yeah.
If you've, you know, when you just speak about trauma in general, you can relate to it even though the experiences are different. You can empathize, maybe not completely understand 100%. what somebody had to go through, but
yeah.
you can empathize with what this generation
yeah.
of people had to experience, a generation of kids. And it's like, you know, I always think about other natural disasters that happen, and then you're like, they get a chance to watch this film, and it's like, we went through something just like that. I
mean,
I understand.
Think about Flint. You know, like, you know,
still going on.
Mm-hmm. I was actually with what is her name? I was with the mayor of Flint 2 days ago.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the former mayor of Flint.
Mm-hmm.
I want to get her name right. So
yeah, don't want to do that.
Just give me 1 second.
Yeah, no problem. Yeah, Gary.
I mean, once a mayor, always mayor. You know.
But yeah.
We know that for a fact with Mary Cantrell. She's our mayor.
Karen, Dr. Karen Weaver. Uh-huh. And like, okay. you know, shout out to that woman, man. Like that all black woman. She is the woman, despite of what everybody around her was saying,
mm-hmm.
and like all of the, you know, all of the denial
mm-hmm.
that, you know, some politicians love to have.
Yeah.
She put herself on a line and declared state of emergency in Flint.
Right.
Like she's the one who did that.
Right.
And like, that's what made the world know about it. That's what got Obama yeah. to come, because like she went to the White House and met Obama,
mm-hmm.
and like that's what made him come,
right.
or whatever. But you know, she and I was talking the other day because I met her in Michigan, and then just so happened we both got booked to be in Mississippi 2 days ago,
okay,
or whatever. So you know, we was running it or whatever, and you know, she was just saying like, well, we were saying all of the parallels
right.
of Katrina mm-hmm. and like the Flint water crisis.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I met some people from Flint actually, and like they were like, y'all were first, you know, like, you know, like talking about New Orleans, mm-hmm. like,
yeah,
you know,
yeah.
y'all were first or whatever. And I think that exactly like what you're saying is just like, you know, if this could happen to us,
right,
coming soon to a neighborhood, like,
yeah. 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 yeah.
near you, yeah. you know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, and man, like, you know, and like, not even just this, it's just like, man, I've heard this project be related to so many different aspects of life, mm-hmm. like from people all over. Man, I remember, and I guess this is like, I was in Switzerland and this guy told me that he understood, you know, exactly what this film was trying to say, because,
damn.
You know, it reminded him of his ex-girlfriend. Okay. I said, huh? He was like, yeah, man, you know.
But it's touching, though.
He, yeah. I guess, but yeah, like, but
yeah.
Relationship.
I'll tell you. No.
But as long as you get the message.
It took me a while to understand it, and maybe because of the, like, you know, language barrier, mm-hmm. but like, he was like, man, you know, I love that line that you say about resilience at the end about, like, you know, we don't always have to be resilient and whatever, blah, blah, blah. He was like, because my ex-girlfriend used to always tell me, be a man. And he was like, you know, sometimes I don't have to. Like,
hey, that's fair.
And I was like, okay, bro, if that's what you pull from the film.
Right.
Like, you know what I'm saying?
Right, appreciate it.
Yeah, appreciate it.
Thank you for what.
So you had so many reactions to the film.
Yeah.
And I think it's to a point, it feels very heartwarming for you. What was more heartwarming, that or going to Tanzania to teach kids film class? Like, what was more like heartwarming to you?
I wouldn't compare, man. Hmm. I wouldn't compare because, like, they both live on different, like, they both live in different neighborhoods in my heart, dog. Like,
yeah.
they occupy different spaces, bro. Like, you know, Tanzania was just so beautiful. You know, obviously, my sister was there working, you know, with the Peace Corps. And, you know, I was out there for about 2 weeks and, you know, just meeting, like, you know, kids that were just so happy, but didn't quote unquote have much,
right.
whatever that means. Like, you know, as an American, like, you know, for me to say, cause it's like, you know, one might say we have too much, you know, but, you know, kids who, you know, who like it was, I think a school of 800, but only had 4 teachers.
Yeah.
You know, they don't really have any tools, you know, supplies, you know, they, you know, I went out there and like, you know, I taught a a film class.
I saw that, yeah.
But and like that was just on a whim or whatever. And like they were so happy and like
they were so I saw man. The video you posted, they were so receptive to see you. Like you kind of break it down how to use the camera. It was like their eyes are kind of like opened up like man. It was Christmas time. And like man. The fact that I could see in your eyes you were so happy to give them that sort of perspective.
Yeah,
that
man. I wanna go back. Yeah, man. You know, like I wanna go back, man. My sister actually went back recently to visit. Mm-hmm. But and man, like you know, and obviously working with the kids here, you know, I was able to actually pull inspiration from Tanzania, mm-hmm. you know, like especially like, you know, when I, you know, was in high school, man. So like both of them occupy different spaces, bro. I love both of them for sure.
Yeah. So what's next for you, man? What's next, bro? What's gonna come for Ed Buckley? What's next?
Man, so right now, I'm in, well, I just turned down 8 projects.
Slight flex.
I'll start there.
That's without you gotta turn down projects. Right.
Yeah, so, you know, they say that picking your second project is mm-hmm. as important as picking your first because it's like, y'all know how we are, man. Like, mm-hmm. you know, especially with us, it's like mm-hmm. when you do something big and major, mm-hmm. they always want you to do it again. Like, you know, it's almost like that rapper that makes the hit, but like, you know, can't do it again. So like, he never.
Don't want
to
be a one-hit wonder.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, the second album.
You know, so like, sometimes having a hit is more, like you know, sometimes having a hit isn't the greatest thing in the world.
Right.
Right.
In music. But I stand up to the challenge, bro. Like, you know, so I've been turning down projects because I just don't feel like they are like the right next project for me. Mm-hmm. But like right now I am, I'm in development, and like I just got some funding to, you know, like just like develop and research mm-hmm. a project, whatever I want to do. Like mm-hmm. they was like, whatever you want to do,
that's dope.
Here you go. So they gave me you know, like, you know, a nice piece of change to, you know, sit my ass down and think. So you know, like that's what I've been doing, just you know, sitting down thinking, though, like you know, and like. You know, I've come up with a great idea. I can't really talk about it right now, but I've come up with a great idea. It's gonna be a series, a doc series. It's still gonna be based on the South, keying in on New Orleans. I think people are gonna really, really enjoy it and love it. And like, it's gonna really be Buckle style. It's gonna be like, you know, like Katrina Babies was really my style. Mm-hmm. This is gonna be like my style, like on a whole different level, though.
Gotcha.
You know, it's gonna be everything I know now. Mm-hmm.
It's a progression.
Yeah, you know, so like it's gonna be dope. And then also, I'm working on another documentary that like this gonna hit people from left field, bro. Like, cause
let's
it's like, and like I feel like people think that they have an idea of like the box that I'm in, mm-hmm. but like once I do this next project, they'll be like, damn, you know what I'm saying? So and like I'll tell you about it off air, whatever.
Gotcha. Okay.
But yeah, man, and dad, and you know, obviously still pushing this, you know, like Katrina Babies. You know, I'm whenever I get some time.
Emmy nominated.
Huh?
I said Emmy nominated.
Yeah.
Well, Emmy, goddamn it.
I hope so. We will see. Thank you.
I'm gonna post that shit.
And then obviously, you know, like I you know, I cook a lot, so I've been trying to find time to like really get into my culinary bag, man, because, like, you know, I really want to do, like, a restaurant. Like, I want me in my 40s, because, like, I'm 30 now, but, like, I want 40s buck to be restaurant buck. So,
let's get it.
You know, I've been, like, you know, just slowly, like, you know, writing things down,
okay,
doing research, you know, studying, mm-hmm. you know, for that, too. So
that's what's up.
Yeah, man.
So to kind of close it out here, we always kind of think of, especially depending on where you are, like, who's your Mount Rushmore of people? Like when you go, I know it's one of those things, like, you know, cause everybody has one no matter what industry, what field, what, like, who do you, that's when crazy. I say I look up to these people, who's up there on that list for you?
Spike Lee, right? I mean, you interned for him was 2014, I believe.
Yeah.
So you got to put Spike Lee up there, right?
Or not? Maybe.
My Mount Rushmore would probably be, well, no, would be Cootie Chike, mm-hmm. Cootie and Chike. Mm-hmm.
So does that count as one or two?
That's two people.
I know it's two people, but we count it as one or two?
I gotta count them as two.
Okay.
Okay. All right.
Only because I get something different from both of them.
Okay. Gotcha. Okay.
You know, Chi K is like, you know, like one of my best friends. Like, you know, like that's gonna be the best man at my wedding. Like literally, like, you know,
hey, let's go.
You know, he's also my mentor. Cootie is my brother, and you know, both of us are real similar to how we got started in film. Our projects are real similar because like we're both subjects in it, and we both have to, you know, had to navigate our personal and dealing with this industry. And you know, I just got like a lot of, you know, advice from him that I couldn't get from Chi K, and like a lot of advice from Chi K that I probably can't get from Cootie. So like they're different. But yeah, Cootie and Chi K, my brothers. Spike Lee. Yay. Kanye West.
I mean, problematic issues aside, he is a visionary when it comes to what he does.
Khalil Joseph.
That's four, right?
Garden
that's
Parks.
Five. Wait,
four, that's five.
I mean, he'd be all right.
Nah, keep going. Yeah. Matter of fact, keep going.
Yeah, Khalil Joseph, Garden Parks.
What about Ryan Coogler?
I wouldn't put him on my Mount Rushmore.
Okay, like, yeah, he's still kind
of
young.
He's great. He's dope. Yeah. You know, both of us have a speech impediment.
Yeah.
So like, you know, I always like, you know, I respected that about him, but nah. You know, like nah.
Okay.
Not on my Mount Rushmore.
Denzel. He's a director.
Not on my Mount Rushmore, but like Denzel actually gave the commencement. My senior year of college, and like,
yeah, you sure did.
I was there.
Yeah, and that helped a lot.
That's cool.
Wait, who I said last?
Parks,
Garden Parks. Man,
I think some good directors, man.
Anthony Bean.
Okay.
My father.
Like, keep going. Keep going.
Hove. Like, I mean, like, at this point, this ain't even a Mount Rushmore.
But I mean, when you look at it, these are the people that
influence me.
Yeah. They help contribute something to who you are and to the projects you make.
Oh, 100%.
Like, so, absolutely.
Like, 100%, man. Like, I borrow inspiration from so many people, bro. Like, man, you know, I'm easily inspired, dog. Easily inspired, you know. I could see, like, you know, like, you know, I could see something that like somebody does in here and be like, damn, that was crazy, and like you know, and I'm gonna be able to use that, you know, in like some form of fashion.
Yeah,
but that gives you a potential to be great artistry, create great artistry, because when you can, I think people who are closed-minded, you miss out on things.
Yeah,
so
always be a sponge.
Yeah, absolutely. So, and. It has been a pleasure.
Honor.
Yes.
Just hearing everything, having this opportunity to talk with you, having to hear your perspective, sir, I appreciate it.
Yes, sir.
Thank you for everything you have done for our community.
Yes.
Yes, sir.
And the stories you're telling and the stories you're going to continue to tell. And we look forward to hearing more and seeing more. Gentlemen.
Appreciate you for being here, bro.
Man.
Thank you so much.
Thanks for coming, brother. Give you your flowers. I mean, what you did for the city kind of put us on the map. We really appreciate it. And just, it's really an honor to really, like, get to know you. And you have this time to sit down, have a conversation with us. It means a lot. So, bro, thank you.
Man. Yes. Thank y'all so much for having me, man. Man, look, I appreciate it, man. I wouldn't have missed it. I'm so glad that we was able to work it out, man. Appreciate it. And, you know, one last thing, man. You know, just like a quick... Yo to the noobs, you know what I'm saying?
The disrespect, God damn.
That's funny.
Hey, man, it's always ice cold in here, man. It's ice cold in here, bro. It's always ice cold in here, bro.
Greek unity. That's what I said. Greek unity. But look, all love, brother. All love, man.
Yeah, 06 to the good bros. All
right. And with that, ladies and gentlemen, that's another episode of the Daily Dollar Show podcast. We out.
Peace.
And that's another episode. Give us a like and follow on Facebook and Instagram at Daily Dollar Show Podcast. And listen to us wherever you listen to your podcasts on Anchor, Spotify, Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, and more.
RBS.
Yes.